Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure, as always. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show, all the different ways, including streaming, podcasting, whatever you like. We got lots of capability there that to listen to the show. And all the thousands of archives that we have had in over the years. You can find those as well in just search for the topic that's on your mind. You'll hear some interview. You'll be able to find some interview that I've done with an expert on that topic. And, of course, we got articles, thousands of those that I've written or Brain Trust members have written. The Brain Trust is there. The newsletter is there. The blog is there. All the things that I think will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful right there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, is right there online too. So check that out when you get a chance. AskJim.biz. Get your small business answers right now. Gary Broadnax is a good friend of ours, folks, and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's an outstanding entrepreneur, and he has had some interesting things to happen to his company lately, and I hope he'll talk to us a little bit about that. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
It's good to have you back. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you've done over the last 4 or 5 months?
I can tell you a little bit about it. I am a little bit restricted on what I can say, but what we did is we were interested in going public, and we did. We are now traded. The name is DVAR. There are several methods of going public. One is to go through a major brokerage firm and travel around the country and try to sell yourself to investment houses and funds. We chose to do a reverse merger. The difference is, if you're doing a reverse merger, you're not going to be getting the splash of all the publicity of going public like you do when you do that big deal. When you're working with companies like Merrill and Goldman Sachs, you're trying to raise hundreds of millions of dollars. They won't even talk to you unless you're trying to raise $100 million.
Right.
We didn't need to raise that much. We just wanted to be public so our shareholders would have an opportunity to trade their shares. They could be liquid. When you're a private company, you have shareholders. They don't have an opportunity to trade. The shares pretty much have no value.
Right.
Until you do go public and establish
right.
a value.
Or until somebody wants to buy you out or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, there's no aftermarket for a private company, and it's one of the problems with being a minority shareholder in a privately held company.
Right,
because you basically have virtually no rights.
Right.
But so what you did was you found what's called a shell company.
Well, I didn't find it. I hired a company, and they found a shell.
Right.
Tell us
what a shell company is.
Sure. A shell company is a company that did exist at one time, went through the whole process of going public, and either went out of business, never really started business, went dormant, yet the shell, the public entity, a company, and when you're incorporated, a company is like a person. He's alive. But a shell company is like a person in a coma.
Right.
And what we did is we sparked the coma back up. So basically, for us to be public, the shell, which is public, buys us, and then we change the name of the shell to our name.
Right. So the public company buys the private company.
Correct.
But the private company is the one that has the business model, that has the customers, that has the revenue,
the equity. Exactly.
And all the equity and all the market value and all that sort of thing.
Right.
And so then what that does is that leaps you over all of those dog and pony steps that you had to take to take your company public, and it short circuits a lot of the expenses too, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it can cost you millions of dollars to go public. If you went the roadshow way, frankly, it didn't cost very much at all for us to go public. It cost a piece of our company because, of course, we have to put a float out there.
Using jargon here on us.
A float is, to be a public company, you need shares to trade. I mean, shares have to be on the market. Someone has to be able to purchase your shares. That's called the float. The company who's handling you handles all that aspect of the company, of the operation.
Right.
They put the float out there. They handle all the legal documents. There's lots of documents. The boards switch. The boards from the shell company, they still exist. They get dumped off the board, and I fill it with my board members.
Mm-hmm.
But all the process, that whole process is handled by the company that takes you public. Now, it's very important to be careful because in the old days, there were a lot of companies that were taking people's money by creating fictitious companies,
mm-hmm.
and putting them out on the penny market and, you know, pumping them up, and then they were called pump and dumps. They pump them up, and then as soon as people start trading, they get, you know, millions of dollars, and then they kill the company.
Right.
Perhaps the shell companies got bad reputation. But
what was the name of that movie, Boiler Room?
Boiler Room, exactly.
Yeah, that's what they were doing, wasn't it?
Exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, and of course that's happened in reality. And so basically, you had a company that had grown in size. You've talked to us about that over the past.
Mm-hmm.
You'd grown to a certain size. You needed to grow it a little bit further. And it wasn't really possible for you to grow it the way you wanted to with profits, just with profits or just with bank debt. You needed some equity infusion. The next best level for you was to go public. Going public in the Sarbanes-Oxley world for a small company, a small cap company, is not a viable situation. It's too expensive. So you found a shell company that was already public, and had that company acquire your company, called a reverse merger, and then you became the majority shareholder. You got a new board. Your name in the shell company replaced the shell company name, and now you're listed on the pink sheet.
Correct.
So, folks, that's in a nutshell. That's what happened, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. It's fascinating, isn't it? And Gary Broadnax did it, ladies and gentlemen. I told you. He was a cool guy and knew what he was doing. And no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience.
Hi, Jim. This is Beverly Inman Ebel, author of Talk Is Not Cheap at TalkListen.com. Congratulations on the 10th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. Way to go, Jim. You did not stop at dreaming. You did it.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure, as always. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Gary Broadnax is our guest, and President and CEO of Dovari Incorporated, now a public company. Gary, I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you.
I really am. I mean that.
Well, I appreciate it, Jim.
Well, you know, I love what goes on. I love seeing what happens here. Folks, and those of you who have been listening to my show for a while, you've seen this too. The people who are on this show, Gary, are people who are making things happen. My guests are all people who are making things happen. And they come on the show, they have this idea, they have this business that they're working on, they have this small business that they're starting, this young business that they're starting, like you did when you first joined me about probably 4 years ago. You know, you had Dovari, it was a business you bought.
Right.
And you had high hopes for it, and now you've grown it to the point where you felt like you could go public. Is this a great country or what?
It's a great country, man. This is the fourth time I've done this. I love it.
Yeah. So anyway, tell us now. It's DVAR is the indicator,
the symbol
DVAR, and go to Bloomberg or your trading account, whoever you do business with, go to Bloomberg.com if you don't have an account and look it up, DVAR, and you can find what's going on. But it just started trading yesterday, didn't it?
It did yesterday. We just finished the process.
Brand spanking new. I'm talking about, folks, the ink isn't dry on.
We haven't even begun marketing the product yet. And that's another thing. When you're doing a reverse merger, there's a period where you go public, and then you begin to market the shares. We'll send out a series of press releases about what's going on in the company. Jim, unfortunately, I can't talk to you about anything that's going to be in those press releases. In the past, you and I used to have a very open discussion, but now I'm kind of restricted as far as what I could say until a press release actually tells the whole world. I can't say any information.
But you can tell us what Daivari does, though, can't you?
Oh, I sure can.
Yeah, let's not lose our head. Well, seriously, no, you're a software company, and your specialty is.
Salesforce Automation, Customer Relationship Management, CRM,
exactly.
Oh, right, and we're a SaaS company, a software as a service company. You pay as you use us, a monthly subscription fee to use our product per person. And unlike a lot of our competitors, you pay one fee and that's it. We don't penny ante you with a whole lot of other things.
Right.
And we're growing very fast. We are, I love the product. The product is a phenomenal product. It can help a salesperson become better, and that's the difference. We're not just, most of these products help you manage data, which was wonderful in the beginning, and that's what our product did. It helps you manage data, but we also intelligently help you manage data in a way that makes you more productive.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about why that's necessary for the 21st century.
Well, because nowadays it's required that you collect so much data. There's just so much information. If you have a company, and here's something else, every company needs to analyze whether they even need a product like this or not. You and I say, yeah, you must have it. But if you only have six customers, and there, for example, I ran into a company that dealt with large oil field equipment, and they only had six customers. Mm-hmm. They only had four salespeople.
It's not that hard to keep up with that, is it?
It's not hard to keep up with that at all. And it wasn't like they bought a lot of things. They just, the things they bought cost like $20 million.
Right.
They weren't really a good candidate for our product. But if you're a hustler, if you're a salesperson, you're hustling out there, and you're trying to qualify your leads, and you're talking to hundreds of people a week, our product is what you need.
Well, you need customer relationship management assistance from somebody, and of course, what I try to do is give you a place to start, and for me, that's Daivari. But there are other, as you know, as you well know, Gary, there you got competitors out there.
Oh, absolutely.
From big companies, little companies, lots of different places out there. But the question is to me, you already know how to find. Folks, you already know how to find CRM capability. The question is, do you want to have it standing alone on your servers? Do you want to buy it as a service? See, I think that's an important point. Software as a service.
Point.
You know, do you want to rent it month at a time, or do you want to pay thousands of dollars and own it, have it modified just for your business? There, you have those applications. There are a lot of different ways you can get this, but the most important part of all this, folks, is how are you evaluating the performance of your sales effort and the relationships with your customers. That's the key, isn't it?
That's definitely the key. How you interrelate with your customers, how you manage your sales, how do you get more sales from your current customers? Because nowadays, getting customers costs you money, costs you a lot of money. Getting sales from customers you already have is the cheapest way to grow.
Right. There's no question about it. It's the best way to grow. Now, the cheapest is the most profitable way. Give us that website.
www.daivari.com. DOVARRI.com.
Thank you. Hey, congratulations again, Gary. We're looking forward to hearing more about how things are going with your new public company, DVAR. Thanks, Gary. See you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Rob Levin after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.